Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
All righty. Let's get into the swing of things today. As we normally do, we like to start out with a little sports talk.
Oh, yes. We saw the sports talk. I'm digging Russell Westbrook. I'm digging him, what he's done, the 42 triple-doubles. And Tolliver, that plays for Sacramento Kings, I remember writing something on Facebook, and he commented on it. And I was like, Russell Westbrook is Michael Jordan, 1988.
Okay.
And he was like, that's absurd.
No.
I was like, before Scottie Pippen, he is.
Okay.
I said, without Kevin Durant, you're going to find out this season how good he really is.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't try to inbox the guy that played for Sacramento Kings. I don't wrote him. He has not responded.
Well, I don't think he's going to.
But at first he was responding, coming. He said, you gave him a lot of credit. I was like, man, I see it in his game that he's going to break some type of record this year.
Yeah, he is a man on a mission.
Man on a mission. But then my thing is, Tony, looking at it from a marketing scheme, money scheme, and just seeing the athlete, you know, being able to use their athletic prowess for the economy.
Mm-hmm.
For the economy machine. I know he wears Jordan. He wears Air Jordans. But it's like this season has happened, and he's been in an MVP race, but it's not really honored. Like Michael Jordan is a measuring stick, and you cannot exceed that. I mean, LeBron's doing his thing.
Yeah. Well, the problem is with Mike, man, it's the rings. Okay? That's what the league look at. When they try to measure this MVP thing, MVP, is the rings, the amount of rings. I don't think it's fair. Oscar Robertson, the other morning, was on Mike and Mike.
Yes.
And he spoke about what it took back in the day to average a triple-double like he did.
Okay, break that down.
All righty. And his thing was the athletes of today are so much better than they were in his era.
That's right.
Okay, different style of basketball. But he said, I'm telling you, I watch basketball. He says, and I don't go to the game to watch the score. I go to the game and I watch players. I watch how they manage the game. I watch how they manage their game. And he said, Russell Westbrook is one of the best. Okay? And when he got finished, they asked him about MVP. And, you know, there's still some doubt about who it's going to be. But he said, clearly, there is no doubt in my mind, based on his performance this year, he deserves to be the MVP. MVP, because nobody else is going to do what he did. He said, that record probably will never be broken.
No, it won't. Because, I mean, Russell Westbrook is the same height as Oscar Robertson, 6'4", 6'5", but he jumped a whole foot higher than him.
Okay. And his game is, and he's a lot more faster. Okay. And I don't, you know, I know the Big Oak could probably dunk. But if
not
you
like
to,
that.
But if you... had to add up the number of dunks the Big O had versus what he got. It's huge, man. It's a big difference.
Dude, that guy's amazing, and just it's just. And then plus another thing for him is he's Oklahoma is known for oil and diamonds and all this and for this, you know,
natural
for
the resources, yeah. Minerals. Yeah.
They rich people in that area. That's the old. Yeah. You know, that's the old
Black Wall Street.
There you go. I
was Black take Wall Street.
That's the old Black Wall Street where they at right now.
Okay.
So everybody looking at. Oh, Oklahoma, why they got an NBA team? That city's so small. It's like Grand Rapids.
Yeah, very small market.
Very small market. Only thing they got is the Oklahoma Thunder. They don't have nothing else. They don't have a football team. Nothing. No baseball team. Nope. They just got the Oklahoma Thunder. But it's right in the old spot where the Black Wall Street was at. Okay. So why is it still rich? They say some of the richest people in the world live in America, live in Oklahoma Thunder's community.
I believe it.
Man, it's like it make you think. But they're just looking at athletes like, you got Tony Romo being honored at a Dallas Mavericks game, letting him warm up and all this.
Oh, yeah, had him on the bench. I was going to put him in the game till they realized that is a violation of the rules in the NBA.
They was going to put him in the game.
Yes. Yes, watch the clip. He had gotten off the bench. Mark Cuban came and got him. Mark Cuban said, no, no, no. Because the fans out there, they cheering. Okay, you know, they got beat. They was getting beat. They weren't going to win. And, The fans are chanting for the guy, right? So he gets up off the bench, and the coach,
Rick Carlisle.
He was standing next to him. And Mark Cuban said, I'm not ready to pay this fine, because there would have been a huge fine, because he's not on the contract.
That's going to put him in.
He's going to put him in because of the crowd.
Wow, the fanfare.
Okay, yeah, the
fanfare. That's crazy. I've never seen nobody ever do that.
No, I don't think that's ever happened, man. But, yeah. And
all this stuff a joke. That's what it is now, this whole thing.
Yeah, and Cuban, after the game, made a remark about the Dallas Cowboys not giving him an opportunity to leave the game in a gracious manner. You know, and a lot of players have finished their careers, had an opportunity to play their last game, you know, leave the field to a standing ovation, all this stuff.
What he's done, though. He won 2 playoff games.
Totally, totally.
Scott Mitchell.
Yeah, and I think based on Scott's the amount
Mitchell
of money
for the Lions.
He made, it equated to like $23 million per playoff that he amassed. But at the end of the day, Jerry Jones was a big supporter. But when he realized how Dak Prescott raised the level of that team, which also said that increased the marketing dollars, as a businessman, he had to take a look at Romo and say, well, it's been nice knowing you, but based on where this team is today, you know, you're either going to sit the bench or you're going to go, because really there's nothing that we can market you to. All right, other teams don't really want to take a chance. But if he had found somewhere to go, the Dallas was willing to let him go. There was teams that just didn't want the guy, man.
So what does that say?
Okay, you've had neck surgeries, back surgeries, really never played a complete career. And what I got Parcells say when he was with the Dallas group?
Oh, he said he averaged. I can't pay him no more than what I've been giving him. He was general manager.
Right.
He was cutting the salary, he's cutting the check, and Jerry Jones said, I want to make him franchise tag. He was like, oh, I'm out of here. I quit then.
Right. If you're going to make that kind of move, man, you're going to detriment to the team.
Then the tuna said, there's no more room for coaches like me no more in the NFL.
Nope.
That's when he stepped away.
And he ain't looked back.
And then look what they just did for him. They put him in a spot where he has a seat with CBS or somebody now, where he's commentating over games.
Yeah, that's been a controversy because they removed Phil Sims. Yeah, he's going to take Phil Sims' spot. But there are many kids that's in college that's fighting to get into the career
of journalism.
Broadcasting.
Yeah, journalism.
They pay their dues. And they take a guy like him, who they think is a fan favorite, and will make an immediate impact on their show. That yet remains to be seen. But, yeah, he's
nobody kind really been know
entitled.
Him.
He's been entitled. And what has he accomplished? You got a ring? No, he don't have a ring.
He just sitting up there on TV.
He's just getting
not
paid.
Like, no, Ray Lewis or nobody, or like a Shannon Sharp. You know, it's where you right. Like, this brother the one. He's tough. He's going to have an angle. He's going to come at you. Like, what angle he going to have? Like, these 2 playoff games I played in.
That's it. Can you talk to your Super Bowl experience?
Yeah.
You know,
like, Sharp get up there. Like, I was tight end. These right. 2 Super Bowls.
Ray Lewis.
You know, I played with John Elway, you know.
Yeah.
Ray Lewis is like, I was the offense and defense.
Yes.
You know, I anchored that. I commanded everybody and his 2 Super Bowls, his MVPs. Yeah. Jerome Bettis. You know, just.
Oh, yeah.
So right. It's like, you in that crowd among those guys, you have no jury.
No. No jury. No street cred.
Man, that's something wrong with that to me. That's politically like.
Oh, yes, it is. And, you know, these guys, I looked at a clip the other day where they named all the broadcasters, like your major news anchors. They make ridiculous amount of money.
Oh, yeah.
I was just amazed.
They getting paid good.
The number one highest paid, Judge Judy.
Oh, yeah.
$43 million a year. $43 million to play that 30-minute segment a day.
We got to open up Judge Pippen's office then.
Okay. We got to get Judge Pippen's show going. I know that's right.
The family court.
They bring in that kind of jack.
In the pit.
Yeah. In the pit.
That'd do a lot of e-commerce for our community.
Yes, it would.
We probably had to take his show, then telecast it. Judge probably like, yeah, I'm going to talk to you, John.
Incredible, man.
Before $3 million, I think we can get about 10, 15 okay. For Judge.
Yeah, that's just 1 year, though.
Yes.
You know, we got to get it all.
We are a financial show. We got to figure out how to make our community better at the same capacity.
That's it.
Our judge is good. He done helped a lot of families out, and he has a lot of great knowledge. and yes, it runs well around. And he's a Spartan too, so I give him those nods.
So he got all that stuff going for him, man.
Yep.
We need to make sure he gets his own show.
That's right, man. So
yeah.
Speaking of athletes, that's what we had this week at financials.
Yeah,
financials.
Yeah. We thought we would take a little detour and talk about, you know, we talk about the working class people trying to acquire wealth and improve their credit and improve their financial standings. But we all like entertainment.
That's right.
And when we watch entertainers, we know they're a highly paid people, and they normally surround themselves with people to help manage them and their monies to make sure that they don't go broke. But unfortunately, that's not the case, okay? And we're just going to touch on a few of the cases that are probably more known than others. But and on the flip side, we also have success stories about athletes in America. And I think the one at the top of the list, athlete that squandered millions of dollars, has to be Mike Tyson.
That's because of his illiteracy. He couldn't read. He trusted too many. He trusted too many people. Go ahead. I got a story about him too, but I want you to share the notes that we have on him today.
Okay, I want the audience just for themselves just take a guess at what he earned over his career. Okay, because we know he was the youngest heavyweight champion. First 19 fights, professional fights, were all by knockouts in the first round, and you know he was just on his way to stardom and greatness.
You know, Mike Tyson was fighting grown men at 14. They was training him with grown men at 14.
I can't believe it. The way he was knocking folks out.
I think he lost $250 million. That's what I think.
$250 million.
$250 million.
Okay. That's a good guess. That's a good guess. Not quite enough.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. According to the New York Times, he earned more than $400 million in his boxing career. $400 million. That is a lot of money. Okay. And unfortunately, in 2003, he filed bankruptcy. You know, there was a lot of bad decisions. And then, you know, the media also showed him buying tigers and buying, you know, homes.
Birds, pigeons.
Yeah, entourage and cars and mansions and wives. Okay. And, yeah, he, as it says here, that pet tigers, luxury cars, one divorce, he lost $9 million. And, you know, he had the old IRS, which we, in this day and age, it's no reason that athletes should be in trouble with the IRS if they got good managers behind them. But, yeah, I think he is the number one guy at the top of the list when we look at this to talk about a financial disaster story.
Yeah. And then it's just the problem of being so young. When you're an athlete, the money is always front-loaded.
Yeah.
From your 20s to your early 30s, that's your career. It's like 12 years.
As a boxer.
If you max out, especially for boxing, you max out 10 years in boxing, that's great.
That's great. Yeah, if your career is 10 years.
That's worse than football being hit.
Oh, yeah. So, average football career is like 3.5.
Yeah, you're talking about 30 to 40 fights over a 10 to 15-year period, 10-year period. That's a lot of blows to the head. That's
a lot of blows, man.
So when you look at that, it's like, all that money he made. But I had a funny story about Mike Tyson. Like I said, they say he had him fighting guys when he was 14. His mentor, the old man that he
had. Gus D'Amati.
When he was alive, everything was good.
Right.
The money was managed right. Yeah. Everything was right. Mike, everything was right.
Yeah, because he trusted him, you know. And Gus did. And Gus had a genuine interest to make sure that he was successful.
When Gus died, some of the other handlers tried to step in, like Don King and all those other guys. I remember one time they talked about Don King asking him to sign a blank sheet of paper.
Right. That's how Don did it.
Yeah, he said, sign this, just sign this, man. And he said, I'll fill in the blanks.
Don was a mess,
man. So just like taking that brother for a ride. And
oh, he stole millions from him. You know, that's how Don King operated. Because you know, he had Ali, he had Foreman, he had a lot of the major fighters under contract.
Yep, he had some of their fights. You're right.
Stole a lot of money. Stole a lot of money.
And he was talking. I remember Mike Tyson was saying that he was getting ready to fight the guy that beat Muhammad Ali when Muhammad Ali was older. He beat him to a pulp. Can't remember the guy's name.
It wasn't Larry Holmes.
Yes, it was.
Oh, Larry Holmes. Okay, right? Yeah. Yeah,
so,
Larry
Holmes. So he getting ready to fight Larry Holmes, right?
Okay.
Mike Tyson, he only like 16 to 15 at the time.
Oh, really? Okay.
So he said, I'm 16 to 15, and my trainer, they training me like I'm going to fight Larry Holmes. He said, so one day I go to a dance. He said, I got a tuxedo on, like a prom or something. And he said, I'm upstate New York, and I'm in the hood of New York.
Okay.
So he said, he said he's like about a 5-mile radius. He said, well, my trainer called me, my mentor called me. The old man called him, he said, hey, Gus, what you doing? He said, I just got done getting from this dance. What? We supposed to be training at 12 o'clock at night. You got to beat Larry Holmes. You better get your butt here. He was like, what? He said, so I ran in my tuxedo with my shoes on 5 miles.
Oh, I can believe it. Got on back to the crib.
Got back to train. So that man knew how to motivate him, and he trusted him with all his money and his livelihood. But when he died, it's just everything went
to nothing. The vultures came in and, just took over. And he made bad decisions as well. You know, they've all been chronicled about the ill fate of wives, going to prison, all that stuff hurt him, man. There's many, many that we could go through, but we're just going to hit a couple of them. The ones that kind of stand out, like a Michael Vick.
Okay.
Michael Vick, during his career, was the highest paid player in the NFL. He signed a contract extension of $130 million, which made him the highest paid player in the NFL. And we all know the story of what happened after that.
Before he got caught up? 2 years?
He signed a 6-year contract when he first came into the league with Philadelphia, and that was at 62. And then 3 years later, okay, he was with them for 3 years. 3 years later, they signed him to a 10-year extension.
With Atlanta, yeah. That was Atlanta.
No, he didn't go to Atlanta until...
That was Atlanta first, then he was at Philadelphia.
Right.
Yep.
Yep. So $130 million is what he got paid.
Then they aged him out. They sent him to jail. They aged him out. When he came back, he still was fast and good, though.
Yeah, he played for some teams. He played for Philly.
Good for Philly. That comeback game. So it was just
2007.
Like...
2007. Yeah. Yeah, he lost 2 years doing time. Which also means he lost his lucrative Nike sponsorship.
His contract.
Was forced to declare bankruptcy too.
Yeah. And then he said, but Mike, one thing I want to commend Mike Vick about is he went into bankruptcy and said, I'm going to pay everybody back.
Yeah.
Tony Dungy was his mentor. I like Tony Dungy, big Christian guy that coached the Colts.
Yep.
Tony Dungy mentored him through the whole process. And he paid everybody back.
Mm-hmm. That's the story I got.
Yep, he paid everybody back. Amazing.
It is. Don't know what happened. Okay. But the guy down in Atlanta really had a genuine interest. Well, both owners did. Philadelphia and Atlanta, both those guys really liked Michael Vick. And those were the ones that really gave him a second chance at life, which was good. So, but I don't know if he's going to play any more this year or not. I forgot what the last team he was with.
He tried. Nobody picked him up. I think there was a couple other teams, but it's done. I mean, Michael Vick's about 34 now. So,
well, I got a good friend, John King. He'll text me and let me know because he had sent me a text last week when we were talking about Marcus Dupree, where he was from.
Yes.
I think he told me he was from Philadelphia, and I forgot. I said I was going to make sure we got that right. But anyway, we're going to keep going. I'll get to that. Kenny Anderson.
Ah, Tibbs. That's my favorite player of all. Look, that's my favorite basketball player of all time.
Really?
Left-handed guy from Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
Number 2 draft pick behind Larry Johnson. Man, out of New York. Lower Bishop Marion High School. I know everything about him. I met him personally. And he told me this. I'm going to tell you what Kenny Anderson told me. I met him at a clinic. It's amazing how you meet people. And I was talking to him, and he asked me, he said, man, what's going on in your life? He asked me this. I was like, I'm A, B, and C. And at the time, I used to drink at the time. I used to drink alcohol. And he said, man, look. He said, I don't know about you. But he said, that messed my whole life up.
Oh, yeah,
he
did.
Alcohol and women killed his whole career. And he got a movie out right now that he was molested.
Really?
So all those issues came back when he got the money.
Okay.
He never really voiced what happened to him as a kid. But it was like, it came back. His name, they called him Chills. It was his nickname. Man, some of the best handles I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, well, Kenny can handle the rock.
Give me the story about my brother, man.
Yeah, man, Kenny played for 9 different teams in the NBA, and you know that's not good when you play for 9 different teams. He earned over $60 million, which is not a, you know, for us it's a lot of money, yeah. But in the league, you know, it's not a huge.
Especially
amount.
When you got child support and alimony.
And he had them because he got married 3 times, and divorced them all. He had a prenup.
Okay.
He had a prenup in the first one. She challenged it.
Oh.
She walked away with half of everything plus $8,500 a month in child support.
Man.
Okay. And they say she got her a vanity plate that read his cash, okay, on a ride. And then, he got married twice more and basically lost everything, man. Because they said that he had a monthly allowance that he would give himself of 10 grand. A month, and he referred to it as hanging out money. Okay, and again, he filed for bankruptcy too.
Man, that's my favorite. See, that's why kids don't look up to these guys. I met him personally, face to face, and I model almost. I love this game because he was left-handed. He had a spin move through the legs, the quickness, okay. And just the flair how he walked on the court. He had that, but that was he said that was his escape.
Getting on the floor.
Yep, he said. But then I started thinking, like, my escape was God and finding Christ. He found the court. But then when that court faded, he had that $10,000 allowance. He should have been getting that to a church or something, that $10,000.
No, that was his hanging out money.
That could have been a tithe. It could have been a $10,000 tithe. Because if you're making, if you're making, $100,000?
Yeah.
$10,000 in tithes. You could have got to a church or to a nonprofit and been happy with the hanging out money and coaching some kids or something.
Right.
Or going on a vacation with your wife. $10,000 a month, baby. Just, we can do whatever you want.
Just blew it.
I would rather blow that with my wife. Like, look, we got $10,000. Let's go somewhere.
Have some fun, right?
Yeah, my wife like, no, we ain't finna spend no $10,000 a month. We finna do.
You broke.
Yeah, we finna spend $1,000 if we got it like that and have some fun going on a trip. But that's one of my favorite players of all time, and it just hurts, man. I know his whole story.
This guy here probably might be one of your favorites too, Latrell Sprewell.
Oh, the choke artist, the spinners.
The
he had the greatest thing. He had the spinning wheels he created. Uh-huh. Then the Dada sneakers came out with the spinning rim on them.
Right, that was Latrell.
Your shoe can walk and the rim spin on your shoes. You know where he's from? He's from Flint.
Latrell from Flint?
Yep.
They never said anything in the article about him being from Flint.
From Flint. He's from Flint. Okay.
Well, he made over $100 million, and he received a 68-game suspension.
Yep. Choking the coach.
P.J. Carlesimo.
Seton Hall against 68. Michigan. You remember that coach? Yep.
Oh, yeah. Seton Hall against Michigan. Great game. There was the Rice. Boy, Rice was in that in that game.
He choked out on P.J.
Yep. And there was an interesting side note here where it said that Minnesota offered him a 3-year contract extension for $30 million.
What'd he tell him? You got the quote in there.
And he said, that's not enough money. I got a family to feed.
I can't feed my kids off of that.
I can't feed my kids off of that.
$30 million.
And he said that his kids would be on a commercial with Sally Struthers. Okay, Sally Struthers was the Child Fund International commercials. The old girl used to play on the show with the Jeffersons, was opposite of the Jeffersons.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So after that, they basically took the offer off the table, never gave him a cent, and he never played basketball again. Mm-hmm. Had a yacht called Milwaukee's Best.
Yeah. That's where he's from, Milwaukee. That's it.
Milwaukee.
Yeah, from Milwaukee.
And,
but he did own a GM plant in Flint.
Really?
Yep, he owned a GM plant. That's what he did.
Okay.
That's how you think he got into the rims and the cars?
Well, no, doesn't speak to that, but I know he filed for bankruptcy. Okay, Lawrence Taylor. We all know about Lawrence Taylor. One of the greatest defensive players in the history of football. And unfortunately, he filed bankruptcy too, 1998. Illustrious career, great guy. Johnny Unitas, great football player.
Quarterback,
he filed bankruptcy. Marion Jones, Marion Jones,
track athlete,
the Olympics,
steroids, North Carolina basketball player. Yep, she lied.
Yeah, it cost her millions of dollars.
Yeah,
yeah,
about steroid use.
Yeah, it was so bad for her. She had bought her mom a home. She even had to sell her mom's house.
Les Brown. She had to do Les Brown.
Yeah, mom was homeless. Okay, Derek Coleman.
All right, we know about he's still in Detroit doing his thing, though.
I've seen him one night. It's been, I don't know, probably 8 years, whatever, and it was.
I seen him too.
Night, and he was hanging out in front of a club.
He went to my wife's high school.
Oh, he did?
Northern. But go ahead. You seen him hanging in front of a club.
Yeah. He had $87 million. He played in league 15 years. He filed bankruptcy in March of 2010. And it just it's ridiculous the kind of things.
He got so lazy when he signed his contract.
Oh, yeah.
Derek Cohen was ridiculous. When he signed his deal, his $84 million, him and Larry Johnson, they fell off the planet. It's like, I got the money. I'm good. I ain't got to hoop no more.
Mm-mm. No, they would just phone in their game. They wouldn't even show up for the game.
I just got to
get would come up missing. They wouldn't even show up sometimes.
Yeah.
$87 million. And they said he owed Dave Bing money.
Man.
He had borrowed money from Dave Bing. Owed him money. Scottie Pippen.
Yep, Scottie Pippen.
Scottie Pippen filed bankruptcy. Okay. Another illustrious career. Over $120 million. And he filed bankruptcy. Antoine Walker. Okay. $110 million. He filed bankruptcy. And baseball player Tony Gwynn. Again, he filed bankruptcy as well. So, short list, actually. Short list of players that really didn't do well after their careers were
It's
over.
Like we bashing everybody. You know,
we got to have some success stories.
I got one.
Okay.
But I was like, man, he took my favorite player and bashed him. But, hey, that's an athlete. I looked at him as an athlete, not as a model for my finances. I tell you that.
Okay.
But when I asked him those questions, when I got a chance to meet him, I was just so excited. I felt like a little kid again. But it's just like it hurt to see somebody. Because he left college early, you know. Went to the Final Four. The shot with Steve Smith and them on the backboard or something like that. And they counted it, you know.
Okay.
I remember that. But I got Kevin Durant. And he talks about his childhood, his investments, and his real life's work. And Kevin Durant, this article talks about him making $36 million this year off the basketball court.
With his investment. The basketball court.
Yes, $36 million off the court. With his Durant company, his startups, his Postmates, his Jet Smarter, and also investing in Acorns.com. I use Acorns.com with the roundup of my change.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe I saved like $1,000 this year. And I don't even check it all the time. I just look out like that's $1,000. I'm like, that's amazing.
That's how I'm walking around money for a year.
Yeah.
$1,000.
Yep. So it's just like, but I don't have like no $10,000 a month. $1,000 is amazing to have in spare change, and you don't even realize it.
Right.
When you pay bills and stuff like that. So just looking at Kevin Durant, they asked him a series of questions, and I'm going to go through some of those questions. So if you talked a lot about the sacrifices your mom made for you and your brother growing up, how has that influenced your approach to life and your career? Well, his response was hard work, plan, and simple, plain and simple. It was clear to me at a young age that if you didn't get up every day and work hard when it was dark, you weren't eating.
Mm.
So working hard and never cutting corners wasn't an easy question for me because we were starving. So he ain't had no choice. He said, I'll never forget seeing my mom before the sun came up leaving the house on a few hours of sleep over and over and over again. That's what these athletes need to remember.
Okay. Somebody sacrificed.
Don't forget where you come from. Chad Johnson said that. He said, Chad Johnson, I've been broke since 1978. When we talked about him saying about all his jewelry from Claire's.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to keep on stunting like the dude in the hood do. Like when I ride around in certain places, I see guys with necklaces and chains on. I know they fake.
Right.
They just put their front up. The fake diamonds and everything. That's what they doing. But you see stuff, somebody paid this much money and did all this. Don't be caught up in it.
Right.
Don't be caught up in it. It's not worth it. The second question they asked him was, how they watching your mom struggle to support you both while she was working two jobs affect your own relationship with money?
Oh, okay.
Listen to his response here. To this day, I still can't believe the luxuries this game has afforded me. It's almost embarrassing at times, but I understand it's the market for my profession. I appreciate every moment and how lucky I am. Knowing how just a short time ago I had nothing has really been the leading motivation for me to have the right people work with me and help me manage my money. I want my kids and their kids to benefit from the time in my life and not ever have to go through what I went through.
All right. Legacy.
Yes, right. I'm also very driven to be someone that gives back, a philanthropist, so I can be. I don't think I could enjoy my success without knowing I was doing all I could to help others. That's what Kenny Anderson missed out with, that $10,000 a month,
right. That
me money. That $10,000 a month could have been an AAU team. It could have went in somebody's ministry, somebody's church.
And all homeless you had to do was
show up and all you had to do was show up and wave your hand and be around them people. That's like partying.
Yeah.
That's the change of my party. I mean, I don't have millions of dollars. I'm not giving $10,000 a month away. But when you show up to organizations and you doing things, you doing your part, and then they say they're going to have a celebration, they're going to go on this trip, and you get the chance to go and be with those entities, that's your way of giving back your gift.
Mm-hmm.
That $10,000 could have died a lot, man.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's okay to celebrate. It's okay to celebrate. You can have some fun. I know you grown folks, but come on, man. You can't do that every month. No. You having a Christmas every month?
No. Birthday every month? Yeah. Kind of like it's your birthday? Come on.
So here's the next question. Listen, it says, what's the best financial decision you've made so far and why? It's Kevin Durant. Having the right amount of people around me and trusting my instincts and asking questions. You can't learn and grow without leaning on others.
Very true.
Next question. What's the biggest financial lesson you've learned? And this is what Kevin Durant said. Nothing is a can't miss way to make money.
Hmm.
There's always a catch. Do your homework before investing or supporting a business or an idea and save.
And save.
Always keep building your savings because nothing in life is guaranteed. Okay. He dropping some heavy hitters.
Yeah.
Ask more questions and trust yourself, just as I said before. But young Kevin had to learn those lessons for me to be who I am today and to be surrounded by people that I am with today. And that's the reason why he in Golden State. He don't got nothing to do with no championships.
No.
He seen the opportunity to go get all that money right quick.
That's right.
And he said, I'm investing this. My kids going to eat off of this.
Yeah, it's a legacy.
So I get one ring one day.
Right.
But if I got this plan set up where I can get all of this while I'm young, I get a ring one day.
You'll get a ring.
Scottie Skiffin got six rings.
Six.
And he broke.
And he broke.
Hey, I'm going to the Golden State Warriors too. If I got a plan with these millions, I got $35 million. I don't got to live off my NBA contract. Oh, I'm living.
Oh, yeah. You don't even need to live off that, actually. Only a portion of that.
He's still riding them old school vans and living a condo. So he know what he doing.
You don't need mansions.
His mama still live in Oklahoma.
Right. Yeah, she still show up at the games.
Yeah, she still show up at Westbrook games.
She's an Oklahoma fan. But she knew that was a business decision. It
wasn't
personal.
No.
He still love Oklahoma City, man.
And it's cheap to live there. Yeah. He got a condo. He there.
He'll never get rid of it.
He still got the condo there.
He'll probably go back. Yeah.
It says, what do you hope to accomplish through your namesake charity foundation? Look how they word that question. Your namesake.
Charity. Namesake. Yep.
To help as many underserved communities and children, especially through education, athletics, and opportunity. It's my real life's work. And then you notice that when an NBA player gets fined, their money has to go to a charity.
Right.
So they make namesake charities, and they give it to their own organization that they want to.
Right. That's good.
That's good. And I like the NBA for doing that. Last question for today. You own a stake in the Players Tribune, the Tiger Beat, Postmates, and Acorns. What do you look for in the investments you pursue? He said, things I connect to and I believe in, and great executive teams. The people I'm investing in is really the first indicator of whether it's something I want to be a part of. So hold up. He didn't say the product. He said the people and the relationships that he has. Once he can see through those, that's where it's worth an investment. That's a brother that's making $35 million outside of his NBA contract.
Off
if we know.
Court.
Off the court.
Because of his character. Okay? Yeah. It's not about, his basketball skills do come into play. But for the most part, these sponsors want to know about your character. Nowadays, the worst thing you can do is go out there and embarrass them.
That's right. The Ron Artestes of the world.
Right.
Indiana Ron was the best Ron Artest until he jumped in the stands.
After that,
Indiana Ron was averaging 27 points a game. Larry Bird was all the way behind him with the money.
Fan favorite.
At the fool, he lost all that.
Lost all of it. Okay, and then we talk about success stories. And, of course, we have to talk about Magic Johnson.
Oh, man, he's one of the best. Barton, he's one of the best. We're talking about him today.
Great success story.
We're trying to bring him to the Muskegon.
Okay, so.
It's going to take a lot.
We want to show the good, the bad, and the ugly. But at the end of the day, it's up to each one of us as individuals, parents, to make sure that our kids learn how to make the right decisions in life when it comes to not only their personal growth, but their financial growth and their spiritual growth.
All right. On that note, I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.